I'm Ringo and I play the drums.
Well, I'm Paul and I play the bass.
I'm George and I play a guitar.
I'm John and I too play a guitar. Sometimes I play the fool.
Those cheeky devils. That is John, Paul, George, and Ringo, otherwise known as the Beatles. And that recording was taken from a series of sessions that the group recorded live on the BBC in 1963, a year that author and journalist Colin Fleming argues was the group's most emblematic and Beatlesque. Now, that's even before they made it big here in the States. Before you spit your morning coffee across the table and write in to tell us that the Beatles' most emblematic year was, of course, not 1963. It was 1965, or maybe it was 1967. Let's hear Colin Fleming out. Good morning, Colin.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm doing well. Okay, so why 1963?
Well, I think people like to focus on Pepper from 67, maybe Rubber Soul from 65, and Revolver from 66. But if you wanted to know what the Beatles liked, what they listened to, what they were trying to become, and in large part who they already were and who they would be, the 63 BBC recordings would be your one-stop shopping destination.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right with you. Yeah, that's all right, oh, Mama. That's any way you do. That's all right.
When they tackle something like such a crucial rock and roll text like Elvis's That's All Right, Mama, you can hear that they keep elements of the past, that burnished country tone that Elvis's band excelled at, but they've added a sort of stomping northern soul element to it. So they're really overhauling the past.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
So these guys were young then. I mean, they were at kind of this nascent stage in their career, yet they had the audacity to cover the King of Rock and Roll and black bluesmen from America. I mean, what was going on with them?
There was a lot of temerity there, actually, for four skinny northern white kids. A lot of times, British rock and roll bands would look to the States as the music here being so legitimate. So to be 21, 22 and think, well, let's have a go at Elvis. Let's have a go at, in another instance, Arthur Alexander, who was like Lord R&B, basically.
Yeah.
Like you didn't really want to mess around with Arthur Alexander. And they do a cover of Alexander's Soldier of Love that if Alexander was listening to it, he'd be like, oh, my goodness, they've one-upped me. The groove that the Beatles hit in this song is so deeply incised. It's one of their earliest big boy moments where you're just thinking, oh, my goodness, we have a real contender here.
Lay down your
So we're talking about some sessions that the Beatles recorded for the BBC in 1963, 50 years ago. How many sessions did they record at that time?
Well, in 63, they did 40. And this was a band. You know how everyone today says, oh, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. You're not busy compared to how busy these guys were. They were doing concerts. They did two albums that year. They did singles, all sorts of appearances. And then they'd sandwich in these BBC sessions. It became almost a clubhouse for them.
Sha-la-la-la-la. It's not the way you smile that touched my heart. Sha-la-la-la-la. It's not the way you kiss that tears me apart. Well, many, many, many nights drove by. I said, baby, it's you.
So that's the Beatles' take on Baby, It's You by the Shirelles. So they were getting inspiration from all corners of the musical universe at the time.
The Beatles, it was everything from Broadway, pop schmaltz, R&B, and lots of girl group material, actually. Now, you were supposed to be a hard guy if you were from a place like Liverpool, but they loved doing girl group songs, and I
really
think it informed their Yeah, I think that sensibility informed their songwriting later. And they did, for instance, a cover of Little Eva's, of the Locomotion fame, Keep Your Hands Off My Baby, which is kind of about slumber parties and pillow fights and Don't Steal My Boyfriend. But Lennon, who always loved singing a song about the green beast, jealousy, really lays into it with a classic vocal. And they even started off with this proto-hip-hop beat.
So despite all of this, there will still be people out there, Colin Fleming, who say you are just dead wrong, that that 1963 may have been significant, but how could it be the most emblematic Beatles year? After all, bands evolve, they change. I mean, in the final analysis, 1963, why was this so seminal?
Well, the Beatles never really were in their present. Their present was always them being in their future, in a sense. It was always about evolving. And I think what we hear here for the first time with this group is there was no can't. There were no rules that had to be obeyed. And they take on songs that you would never expect. Something like I Just Don't Understand is an Anne Margaret Torch song. And in it, we can hear something peaty, pungent, almost like an Isla whiskey.
Peaty, wow.
Where it's very earthy, yet at the same time, the emotionalism is controlled. We'll hear this grow up into Eleanor Rigby on Revolver. She's leaving home on Sgt. Pepper. And I think if we don't have the Beatles in the BBC sessions, we don't later have the Beatles as we come to think of them. So they're crucial.
Well, you call me your baby.
Colin Fleming, he is an author and journalist. He's currently writing a book about the Beatles. You can read his article in the current issue of The Atlantic. His current book is called Dark March, Stories for When the Rest of the World is Asleep. It is out now. Hey, Colin, it's been so fun. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Rachel.
Say that you need me. The ocean needs sand.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. Happy Father's Day.
I just don't understand. Well, you know that I love you more than anyone can. But a one-sided love.